For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Listening for love and understanding. Our topic today is listening to understand and love. And David Rome says, we know we're in the presence of a good listener when we get that sweet, affirming feeling of being really heard. But sadly, it occurs all too rarely. So stop for a moment and just reflect, what are the qualities of a really good listener? So listening takes a combination of intention and attention. The intention part is having a genuine interest in the other person. If you love them, you have a genuine interest in them, in their experiences, their views, their feelings, their needs. The attention part is being able to stay present, open, and unbiased as we receive their words. And we don't receive their words when we put our words in their mouth, which is a habit that I had for a long, long time. Even we're receiving them even when they don't line up with our ideas and desires. And that's when it's especially hard to listen, is when they say something that we disagree with. We want to get out there because sometimes our need to be right feels more important than our need to connect. And so attention is just a willingness to be there and share stories. But the energy of irritation, anger, and other negative feelings pulls our attention away from listening. If you're suffering, you can't be there for other people. In that case, the best immediate practice is to breathe in and out to calm yourself. But if you can't calm yourself, really postponing the conversation until you are calm. How many times do we have a conversation where we end up saying something we really regret because we didn't pay attention to listening to ourselves and listening to our body telling us, this is not the right time for this conversation. This is not the right time to be talking about this. But we do it anyway because we just feel like we have this urge. We have to get our thoughts out there. We have to let them know we're right and they're wrong. We have to win and let them lose. So what we really have to do if we want to learn how to listen is to look deeply at ourselves. And in my experience, this was vital in my learning to listen a little bit better. In my experience, I used to complete other people's sentences because I knew exactly what they were going to say, whether it was right or not. So I did a lot of interrupting. And I never realized I was interrupting, because I was just telling, moving things along. We got a lot to do, especially at work. And in reviews at work, I would always get the review of you interrupt people. And I didn't really see myself doing that. And so I took classes on listening skills and listened to audio tapes at the time, and really thought, I'm really trying to work on this, but I never felt myself interrupting someone. I never realized it. Even when people told me afterwards, I was like, well, I didn't really interrupt them. Yes, you did. Until I started meditating. And then I finally started learning to listen to myself. And I slowed down enough that right now I know if I'm going to interrupt someone, I feel this rope right here and it's getting pulled taut. And when I feel that feeling in my body, that's a mindfulness bell for me that says, do you want to interrupt this person? Or is this an important relationship? And much of the time, I don't interrupt anymore. You know, I went on after I'd been meditating for a few years. I moved to a new job at American Family, and I'd been there a while. And a woman who I worked really closely with, I happened to say to her, yeah, I have this bad habit of interrupting people. And she said, I've never seen you do that. And so it really works that if you really listen to yourself and learn to listen to yourself, you can listen better to other people. So if you can't recognize your own beliefs and opinions and needs and fears, you won't have the inner space to really hear anyone else. And if you're clinging so tightly to those beliefs, you can't listen to anyone else. And you think the world is black and white, and you're right and they're wrong, when it's someplace in between. And that's what we need to do to have a less divisive world, is learn that we live in a gray world. So listening to other people requires quieting some of the voices that exist within us. Our loudest voice is our inner critic. And it's going 24/7, judging this and judging that, judging yourself, judging other people, telling what's wrong all the time. And if that inner critic is going and going and going, you don't have the inner space to stop and listen to someone else. You're too worried about how you're going to be perceived, or how you're going to tell this person they're wrong, or how you're going to be better than them, or how you're going to win this fight. There's not space for the voices of others, let alone our own true voice. Every week when I'm in prison, I talk to the guys about their inner goodness that's all covered up with all the crap you threw on top of it. And it's really true. We can't hear that inner goodness. We can't feel that inner goodness because we threw so much crap on top of it that we can't see it. And so what's reacting is all the crap that we threw there that we didn't want to deal with because it was painful. And so it's really hard to listen to someone else because it's like trying to talk through a brick wall and you just can't hear. So the foundation for mindful listening is really self-awareness, getting to know ourselves. True listening requires a deep respect. This person is valuable. They've got something to say, whether I agree with it or not. And a genuine curiosity. What brought them to that opinion? Not how could they think this, but really, what are the life experiences they had that they actually believe something? Like the immigrants are eating dogs and cats. Why would someone believe that? What's going on? Our typical way to react is to say, oh, those stupid idiots, I can't believe how dumb they are. But there's something going on there, and if we don't understand it, then we're not really hearing what's going on. So our intention is not to judge, not to criticize, not to condemn, and not to evaluate. But how often do we do that when we're supposedly listening? Judge, criticize, condemn, evaluate. I know I do it a lot. But the real intention, the best intention, is the single person purpose of helping the other person suffer less. When someone's complaining to you, they don't necessarily want you to fix it. They want to be heard and to be seen. And just sitting there listening helps them to suffer less. You know, when my mom had dementia, listening to her, she couldn't use words, but knowing that she couldn't use words, if I really listened, I didn't do what I wanted to do, which is fill the air with talk and tell her all this stuff and try and get her into a conversation. No, when I listened to her, I heard her need to just sit there and be with her. And for some people, that's way too uncomfortable. You can't do it. But with practice, it gets easier. And then there's another really good intention for listening. And that is listen with the intention to be changed by what you hear. A lot of times when we're listening to someone, we put up this brick wall, you're not going to change me because I'm right and you're wrong. And we listen with the intent to prove that we're right, rather than to allow ourselves to be open and be changed by what we hear. And that's especially important when you're speaking with someone who's got a different viewpoint, because you're just talking past each other unless you're listening with the idea that, yes, I'm going to listen to you. You have valuable information, and it may change my perspective on something. Mirabai Bush says, when we think we already know what there is to hear, we are simply moving a little too fast to really listen. That's where meditation comes in. Think about that. When we interrupt someone, we think we know what they're going to say, but we don't really know. And a lot of times they won't correct us, they'll just ignore it. And so we really have to slow down. If you listen with only half an ear, you can't relieve suffering. How many times was I cleaning the kitchen while listening to my kids or my ex and not stopping and really listening, thinking that I could, quote, multitask, which really doesn't happen. When we have preoccupation with our wants, our fears, and our stress, we're not present. If I'm ruminating about the past, somebody says something to me that pushes a button on me, and I start ruminating about the past and I shut down to them. I'm not listening. And that happens a lot. Or you've got something coming up, like a surgery, and you're really focused on, you're kind of worried about it. It makes it much more difficult for you to be in the present moment and really listen to what's going on. The stronger our wants and fears are, the more we focus only on what we see with our flashlight. Remember, we've talked about the flashlight floodlight meditation? The flashlight, if you're in a dark room, you turn the flashlight on, all you can see is what the flashlight is aimed at. And that's what happens to our vision. It gets very narrow, and all we can see is the problem right there. And we can't see anything else. And we can't turn our floodlight on to see the bigger picture. We listen with bias, and we make up our minds before we hear the whole story. We decide, here's what they're going to say, and here's what I think about it, before they've even got the words out of their mouth. Or we connect everything the other person says to our own experience, without considering their perspective. Oh yeah, I did this too, or this is what I happened. And then we make well-meaning comments that don't honor the uniqueness of their thoughts or feelings, like, I know what you're going through. You know, I recently lost a sister, but I can't tell Jane that I know what she's going through, because hers might be totally different than mine was. And if I really care, then I want to hear what her experience is and what's going on, and not just assume that I know it. So here's some tips for listening to how you listen, by David Rome. He says the first thing is check inside. How am I feeling just now? Is there anything getting away in the way of being present for the other person? If something is in the way, decide if it needs to be addressed first or if it can wait till later. Then feeling your own sense of presence. Extend it to the other person with the intention to listen fully and openly, with interest, empathy, and mindfulness. So feeling, I'm really present here now. You might start with your feet on the ground or your sit bones on the chair, to make sure that you came back to the present moment before the conversation begins. And then silently notice your own reactions when they arise. Ooh, I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling like this person is totally wrong, or I'm feeling anxious, or I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling disrespected, or whatever the thoughts, the feelings, and the judgments that are coming up. And a lot of times when someone's talking, it brings up a memory, and then we get lost in that. Notice that too. Notice how you react. A lot of us have a button that people press all the time. And if we can notice what happens when they press that button can quit working so well. And then we can listen a little bit better. And then reflecting back what you're hearing, using the speaker's words or paraphrasing or summarizing. You know, what I heard you say was this, is that right? To make sure you really did understand it, because a lot of times what they say and what we hear can be two different things. And that helps the other person to feel heard. And then this is probably the most important one and the one I need to work on the most, is use friendly, open-ended questions to clarify your understanding and probe for more. So someone's telling you about something, use an open-ended question to learn more. Oh, tell me more about that. Or what's going on? How did that happen? What, you know, how did you feel about it? Whatever. Open-ended questions. And that clarifies your understanding. But the more important thing it does is your questions are helping the other person think through their thoughts. And when you help them do that, you help them relieve some of their suffering. You know, how does that impact you now? And what are the options that you have? Things like that, to help them think it through. They don't need you to fix it for them, but they might need some help thinking it through. And by asking questions, you can help them think about it. So according to Georgie Nightingale, there's three levels of listening, and the deepest level is listening for experiences, feelings, motivations, and values. You know, we can listen for things we know about, we can listen to get new information on things, or we can listen to what was your experience? What did you really go through? Or what are you really feeling? Because I can't assume I know what you're feeling just because I went through something that was similar to what you're going through. Because we both have different backgrounds, we both have different baggage, we're both coming from different places. I don't really know what your motivation is. I might think I know, but I don't. So, you know, what motivated you to come to this class? That's something that I can learn from. And that kind of listening is more than just hearing. You know, when you listen for information, you're hearing and maybe you're remembering a phone number. But this is a little deeper than that. It's paying attention and endeavoring to really understand. It's demonstrated with eye contact, with echoing, with paraphrasing, and it can be deepened by asking clarifying questions. What you're doing by listening is trying to help the other person get to the heart of the matter. You know, when two kids are fighting and you say, what's wrong? And they're just like, I don't know, and they just keep fighting. They're not getting to the heart of the matter. They don't understand what's really going on. And the same thing when we're arguing as adults. We're not getting to the heart of the matter. We're talking about surface level things when there's something underneath. We're talking about the tip of the iceberg, not the iceberg itself. And so we really need to be able to get down to the heart of the matter and see what we can do there. To quote Georgie Nightingale, in other words, at this level of listening, you are not simply listening for something you want to talk about or offering advice or trying to think of something smart to say in response. How often do we think of something smart to say? It's not about your agenda. It's a leveling engagement that's helping your partner get to what they really want to talk about, and you going along for the ride. You still want to talk about yourself a bit to give a little and not leave the person feeling like you've just rummaged in the bureau of their personal life and made off with a watch. But you want most of the focus to be on them. Think about it. How many times have you talked to someone and everything you say turns into a story about them? You're not feeling heard. You're not feeling listened to. So you want to share a little bit about yourself, but you don't want to turn everything about into how it impacts you. So she says it's a form of hospitality. You're hosting someone. You're surrendering a measure of control. I think that's why it's so hard. Surrendering a measure of control. I'm not controlling this conversation. I'm letting you control it. Yeah. I don't know about that. It's going to be hard. You're giving them space. You're taking a risk. And that risk opens you to the potential rewards of talking with a stranger. So when we have our own agenda, we're not able to hear what's being said. Our flashlight's on and we can't see the full picture. So what do I mean by having an agenda? Well, we want the other person to experience us in a particular way. We want them to know that we're smart and we're competent, or we're kind, or we're friendly, or we're the life of the party, or whatever it is we want them to think we are. And so we're really focused on projecting that image out there. And it may be it's probably one of our masks that we're trying to project out there to them. We sometimes have an agenda when we feel like someone is better or more important. When I was in the work world early on, it was like having to talk to the president or the CEO or a top manager. You'd be like, oh. And you really couldn't listen because you were so intimidated by them and so worried about how you were going to come across to them. Or sometimes we have an agenda because we want the conversation to go in a specific direction. Don't you just hate that when you really want to talk about something and you start talking about it and then the other person changes the subject and you're just like, wait a minute, I really wanted to talk about that. Now how do I get us back to that? But sometimes we want to control the conversation and therefore we're not really listening. And sometimes we need to control the conversation, but we need to do it consciously. Do I want to consciously listen to this person and let the conversation be more theirs than mine? Or do I really need to bring it back to what it is I need to talk about? Sometimes we want to fix or control the other person. I know I always want to fix my kids. And it is so hard to not try and fix my kids whenever something goes wrong. I just want to be the super mom and have them never have any suffering. And it's just not possible. And they don't like it either. So if we're trying to fix the other person or control them, get them to do something they really don't want to do, then we're not really listening to them. And sometimes it's because we just don't feel like talking to them. We were in the middle of something and we want to get back to what we were doing. That happens a lot. You know, we're doing something and that's when we often multitask. Well, I can finish doing the dishes while I talk, or I can finish doing something. Or maybe we're just hungry and we want to go get something to eat. Let's hurry up this conversation. I'm starving. And so we're not really listening. So there's lots of different agendas we have that can keep us from listening to people. Mirabiah Bush says, true listening requires a deep respect and a genuine curiosity about situations, as well as a willingness to just be there and share stories. Listening opens the space, allows us to hear what needs to be done in that moment. It also allows us to hear when it's better not to act, which is sometimes a hard message to receive. So everybody needs understanding and acceptance. And so if you really love someone, the best gift you could give them is to train yourself to be a deeper listener.